Coach, do you recall who you first saw or grabbed after you saw it with a catch?
No, I felt, rest in peace, a little like Jim Valvano, just running around, not sure what to do and where to go. So I don't know who. A lot of the big guys beat the hell out of me, so it's a wonder why they play in the NFL, and I never did. You know, yelling at me and hugging, and, you know, I feel like I'm, you know, 6 inches off the ground with a big hug. So it was, honestly, it was just a wild moment.
Dan Quinn, after the game, answering Tommy's question. Yeah, I had not heard that answer yet, Denton. And I was sitting here going, that was Valvano. That was Valvano. After the famous 83 Derek Wittenberg to Lorenzo Charles. As Wittenberg says, pass. It was not a pass. What an absolute memorable moment in franchise history. And as I mentioned at the very top, it's extra special because the play involved a quarterback that through 7-plus games is having the greatest rookie season in the history of the league for a rookie quarterback. And he's ours, and it looks like they finally have one. Incredible. All right. Continuing with my game take, and I'll try to rip through the rest of this pretty quickly. On the list of things that I liked after, you know, the final two plays, the overall readiness, Jaden Daniels, I gave him an A. It may not have been the strongest A I've given him for the season, but it's an A performance. He's that good. Terry's on the list. 5 catches, 125 yards. Remember Denton when he was averaging like 4 yards per reception after the first 2 weeks, I think it was, and people are going, what's going on? Yesterday, 25 yards per catch. I think his average is up to 14, 15 yards per catch, something like that. Look, it makes a difference having a legit quarterback to play with for the first time in your career. On the play before his 61-yard bomb, that's the only one I think he could have caught it, but it was high. But I loved Terry's competitive spirit. There is something in him. We've always seen it because he's such a pro. But now to be a part of an actual real functioning NFL organization with a real coaching staff that is actually engaged rather than considering their next moves, and to have a real quarterback, he's playing at a high level and has developed, Denton, you mentioned this earlier, and I totally agree, has developed great rapport with Jaden, as has Zach Ertz. He's on my list. He's a big-time target, okay? It's 6'6". You know, young quarterbacks, running game, defense, big target, usually a tight end. I mean, Jaden doesn't play like a rookie quarterback, but anytime you got a big tight end who gets separation as a route runner, he's been healthy this year. He's been a huge plus. You're going to hear him on the show. He joined me on my podcast last night. I'm going to play that a little bit later on in the show. It's just 6 minutes with him right afterwards in the locker room, and he kind of walks through the final play and his role in the final play. 7 catches, 77 yards. Had a really nice catch on a ball that was behind him early. And then, you know, I'm sure he would have loved to have maintained full possession. That was a close call on the touchdown. But Zach Ertz has been a plus player, major, major plus player. The end of the first half is on the list of things that I liked. 55 seconds to go. They've got one timeout. They're on their own 8-yard line. They're up 9-0, and they're going to get the ball to start the second half. And yet, they were in attack mode. They were aggressive. They went for it. You know, they got it to midfield, and then at the end of the first half, decided not to throw a Hail Mary. You know, at the end of the first half, I think they were just saving it for the right moment. No, but I think they didn't throw the Hail Mary at the end of the first half, in part because sometimes on Hail Marys, quarterbacks can take some pretty big shots. They just handed the ball off to Eckler there at the end. But the mindset to go after it, considering going to get the ball to start the second half, up 9-0, field position being the number one along with timeouts, just one timeout, 55 seconds, and then your own 8-yard line. I just like the way that they are always thinking aggressively about not wasting possessions. On the list of things that I like, look, the defense is an interesting conversation for me in this season and in this game in particular, because for 3 quarters, it was outstanding. I think it was the best it's been this year. I don't know how much of it was them, but a big part of it was them. But some of it had to be Chicago. Again, for emphasis, when's the last time you've ever heard of a quarterback playing an entire game from start to finish and having just four completions for 36 yards with 10 minutes to go in the game? That's crazy town. That just doesn't happen. So Chicago had something to do with the ineptitude for basically three quarters until DeAndre Swift ripped off that 56-yard run. But I did think that the defense, you know, there are a couple of things that are givens, right? They have a couple of really good players. Frankie Louvu's exceptional. Wagner is exceptional, all right? They also play with great energy, enthusiasm, high motor. That's going to overcome a lot of things, you know, especially against lesser opponents. I thought yesterday they seemed to have Caleb confused, you know, pre-snap. I also think it would appear from a distance that Chicago is asking Caleb Williams to do too much. That's my guess. I don't have any idea if I'm right, but man, he's up there at the line of scrimmage. It seems like he's calling protections. And, you know, he's got the responsibility of getting into the right play and then executing the play. When you watch the last couple of games, especially, you know, their last two opponents, Jacksonville and Carolina, understood the opponents, but lots of quick game, lots of not, you know, having him process a lot. Yesterday, there was a lot of processing required, and he's a young quarterback. He's a rookie quarterback. And the screens that they tried to throw looked awkward. They looked disrupted by the defense. A. B, he looked unsure. And there were a couple of times where they were open and he just made a bad throw, I think one time to Keenan Allen. But look, the defense had a shutout going through basically nearly three quarters and it held that team to 107 yards and 1 for 9 on third down. So the defense for three quarters or nearly three quarters on my list of things that I liked. Players that stood out to me. I thought Johnny Newton had what appeared to be a very good football game. And I think he just keeps getting more comfortable. I think he continues to get better. I thought that, where's my list? I thought that Louvu always is noticeable. I thought Wagner and Mathis played well. I thought Martin played well. I thought Payne played well. Those were some of the, you know, numbers that I wrote down multiple times, names and numbers that I wrote down multiple times for good games, for good plays. The fourth and one stop on the quick throw to DJ Moore is a great play by St. Juice. Great play by St. Juice. Louvu comes in to close it out, but St. Juice does a great job on the tackle from keeping Moore from getting to the sticks. They played a really good stretch of defense at the end of the first half. Chicago had a first down at Washington's 23, first and 10. And they went backwards. I think it was Mathis who stopped Swift for minus one at TFL on first down. Maybe Fowler was in on that play. There was a quick pressure and a sack by Louvu, we thought, except that Caleb Williams did what he is really good at doing, which is escaping. And then Payne finished him off out of field goal range. Cleland Farrell nearly had a sack safety early in the second half. Again, the defense for basically three quarters until the Swift 56-yard touchdown run. 0 points, 107 yards. All right, the list of things that I did not like in the game. All right, number one is this. Not enough points for the way they moved the football. They had 481 yards of offense in this game. I know 52 came on the last play, but that means they had 429 before that last play and only had 12 points to show for it. Now, what were the reasons for the lack of points, yet they were moving the football and, you know, generating yards? Well, you start with the red zone where they were 0 for 3. You know, the first one ended with that, you know, pass to McCaffrey that was out of bounds. The second one, there was a penalty that kind of derailed it, I think, to Trent Scott. And the last one was the touchdown pass to Ertz that wasn't. So red zone inefficiency is one of the reasons they didn't score points despite moving the football. They were 5 for 15 on third down. That never helps. You know, they had a touchdown called back to Zacchaeus for Cosme being ineligible downfield. I don't think that was an RPO. I think that was a quick screen. But Cosme got caught downfield anyway. I'd have to go back and look at that again. I wrote down in my notes that I did not think that that was an RPO. It looked like they may have been pass blocking on that play. They missed a field goal. Seibert chunked one. You know, he did what, you know, many of us and many of you listening do sometimes when you just hit behind the ball. You know, driver, you take a chunk of grass before it hits the ball. Doesn't really get as far or go as pretty as you like. You could say that about a lot of clubs. But you do know, I think, Denton, right, that that was not tipped. That was not blocked. You know, they had the replay after when they came back, and he just hit turf before ball on a 51-yarder. Maybe on, you know, kicks longer, he's trying to drive it. Whatever it was an ugly kick. So those are some of the reasons that they didn't score more points. And, you know, there were drop balls during the day. Four of them, and probably another two or three that were catchable that you wouldn't necessarily put in the category of drop, but, you know, catchable. So that's number one on the list of things I didn't like, is a game that was dominated, yet the score didn't reflect the domination for three quarters. Number two on the list of things that I did not like. They didn't stop the run well. Bottom line is they gave up 196 yards and 5.8 yards per carry. They're not a good run-stopping team. It felt at times like they were good against the run yesterday. I agree with that. They gave up 77 yards in the first half on the ground. Some of that was to Caleb, you know, in escape mode, and that's different than getting run on. But, you know, Swift, the 56-yarder, Swift, the 22-yarder, where he hurdled, was it Jeremy Chin, I think, or Quan Martin? By the way, after he scored to make it 12-7, and then they got the stop on the missed field goal in good field position, what were they doing dropping Caleb Williams back three straight plays? Like, I kept thinking, oh my God, they've realized it now. They can run on us. And they just figured it out, and here it comes. And then they threw it three times and punted. So stopping the run is on the list of things I didn't like. And then lastly, so I mentioned earlier, there were some things that Chicago did poorly, like really incompetently, the final two plays of the game in particular, especially really the 13-yard out. That just, it's horrible. And the fact that Eberflus said it had, you know, no bearing on the outcome of the game is really embarrassing. It's an embarrassing quote from a head football coach. But I thought Washington made two mistakes. Starting with, they had a timeout, and I think once it became a decent possibility that Chicago was going to score to take the lead, they should have called a timeout on defense. And I'll give you the exact play where they should have called the timeout. With a minute 19, 3rd and 5, Caleb Williams actually on what looked like a designed run. It was a hideous-looking play. He gains 2 yards, and it's 4th and 3. And I thought, yeah, it's 4th down. Yeah, you'd love to see yourself get a stop on 4th down and there to be very little time left. But what if they convert the 4th down? Then, and you haven't called the timeout, you now have really lessened the chances of having the ball with enough time to go down and get into field goal range to either win the game or tie the game if they make a 2-point conversion. So I think they made a mistake not calling that timeout on defense. When you call it on, you can control how much time elapses between each play on offense when you have the ball. You can't on defense. So that's 35 to 40 seconds of valuable time. I think they should have called the timeout there. There would have been about a minute 14, minute 13 left before the 4th and 3, which was the interference on St. Juice, which was a good call. He grabbed Keenan Allen. That would have been a touchdown, I think, without the DPI. And then they threw the fade. I have no idea why they were throwing a first down fade to DJ Moore, which was incomplete. And then they scored on the next play. So basically, instead of 25 seconds left, you would have had roughly a minute to go on the kickoff. No timeouts, but you would have had a lot more time. So that was a mistake, number one. Number two, with 25 seconds to go after the score and the 2-point conversion, as good as Eckler's been as a kickoff returner, no way. If you've got a chance to down it, which he did, They should have taken the 25 seconds and the ball at the 30-yard line. Instead, he returned it 6 seconds off the clock down to 19, and the ball was at the 24-yard line. So it's easy to say bad decision in hindsight. I think it was the right decision beforehand. You give Jaden Daniels the ball at the 30-yard line with 25 seconds to go, and by the way, they had a timeout at that point. You get a shot down the middle of the field for 20 yards to the 50-yard line, timeout. Now you've got a play where you can go down the middle of the field potentially again and have time to get up and spike it and now kick a field goal to tie the game and force overtime. So two things they didn't do well, I thought, during the last zany, crazy couple of minutes. They should have called a timeout on defense, and I think, and they also, Eckler shouldn't have returned that kickoff. That's an easier one to say after the fact, but I felt right when he took it out, I'm like, don't do that. You know, but at the same time, I get it. Eckler's had a couple of big returns. You know, he had the one called back against the Giants. He had the big one against Cincinnati. Was it Cincinnati? You know, one big kickoff return and you're down there at their 40-yard line. Now you're, you know, in field goal range. But I would have, you know, that seems like a long shot, whereas the better shot is 25 seconds, your own 30, one timeout, legitimate chance at that point to get into field goal range. But it should have been more like 55 seconds to a minute left, no timeouts. Should have been. All right, a few other observations and your calls when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.